Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Get excited, Illinois. Next week, on June 3rd, singer Andrew Bird is releasing his new album, Inside Problems. So today, we at Reset thought we'd revisit our conversation with the multi-instrumentalist. Andrew joined us back when his single, Underlands, dropped. And we started with a simple question. What's your proudest achievement?
I've always measured things by the live performance, so the venues that I've been able to play and the shows that I've been able to play with other people. So I would say, yeah, I like playing the Hollywood Bowl or Millennium Park. We had a big show there years ago that was, you know, like 13,000 people, and that was
nice.
That was it, really a moment.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I've always think of things in terms of the performance, the live show.
So the new single, it features some perfectly melodic whistling, which is classic Andrew Bird. What is it like being the best whistler alive? I got to ask.
Oh, man, I don't know if I'm the best whistler alive, but it's
I don't know. I'd say you are.
There's a lot of, you know, different techniques that some of which I can't do. Like I can't whistle through my teeth, or that sort of warbling effect that some people can do. I can't do. My style of whistling is like a sort of a power ballad aria kind of whistling, a full operatic whistling. But what is it like? I don't know. It's just kind of what I do incessantly all day long, so I always say it would be strange to stop whistling.
It's a pretty cool talent
on stage.
Yeah. Well, this new album, Inside Problems, talk about the name.
Yeah, it's something that that occurred to me years ago. I thought it was amusing. The you know, I sort of joke that there's two kinds of problems in this world: inside problems and outside problems. And it's, of course, things are not that simple. This kind of as a vague reference to something kind of messed up and wrong going on inside you that no one else is privy to. I gathered certain titles that I think I keep a notebook full of possible titles, and that one
stood out,
stuck with me. Yeah,
I want to play a clip from a short film you released yesterday. I think this captures some of what you're talking about. Let's listen.
I feel like I'm molting. It's not a pleasant feeling. I go through 4 or 5 days of just being, feeling like I have like a layer over me. Suppressed and extremely tired. And when I emerge after a few days, I feel like a newborn foal, you know?
So the video used for the release is quite interesting. That voiceover kind of feels experimental and introspective. So can you give us more of the inspiration behind this?
Yeah, I just decided to, you know, just record myself riffing on what I think the album is talking about. I mean, it's a difficult one to articulate, this album. Usually I have no problem talking about songs on the album, but this one, it's like, I kind of think that's what the songs are for. And a lot of them were written, you know, lying in bed when I couldn't sleep in the last couple of years. And I'm not the person that gets up and, you know, mops the floor when I can't sleep. I just lie there and go deep into, well, I can just kind of pull up a song and kind of tinker with it in my head. And so it's kind of, you know, those moments in the middle of the night when you're just kind of spiraling and there's no distractions or noise to keep the personal demons from kind of running rampant. And it's, I think this album is sort of an attempt to keep them in line or put them, organize them into song form.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like it's largely behind the scenes footage of the music video for Atomized, which is another recent release of yours. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. I had this idea of doing a long form film for this album where I'm just sort of walking across a room, all black and white, and encountering various obstacles as I try to get from one end to the other in slow motion. And that sort of morphed into this video for Atomized, which is, you know, the song is trying to, taking a idea that Joan Didion threw out there in the late 60s about the atomization of society and culture being kind of broken apart and broken down into the most basic molecules and atoms.
Well, this is Atomized right now. Let's listen to a little bit more.
Stop making your apology. Stop blaming technology, yeah. Blaming technology, oh. May you please, may you stop making your apologies, oh.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of Joan Didion. I mean, you could probably look at the books on my nightstand from the last 2 or 3 years and get a sense of what's going on in these songs. But that quote stuck with me of looking at things in terms of breaking culture down and society down into its smallest parts and unconnected to others. And that helped, I think, express how I was feeling the last couple of years.
This is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and we are talking to Andrew Bird. Today, he has released a new single, Underlands, and announced his new album, Inside Problems. All right, I want to talk about instruments, Andrew. You play so many, but you are probably, I think, best known as a violinist. And I hear that you have a special connection with one of your violins, the one that you bought when you were 16, was it?
Yeah, I was getting very serious. I'd played since I was 4 years old, but In high school, it was just becoming, I was really dedicating myself to it and practicing hours and hours a day. And searching for an instrument at that time is, first of all, they were extremely expensive and you never know what you're getting with an instrument that's 200 years old. Mm-hmm. So I heard about a violin maker. He was a Polish immigrant who lived in Norwich named Zenon Pettish. And I went to Norwich to his house, and he only made 40 instruments in his lifetime. So I had to audition for him for the right to purchase his violin.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've had it, since I was 16, and I've never envied another instrument. I mean, I've played a Stradivarius before, and I think, okay, that's when you play a Stradivarius, you're like, oh, that's that sound. But it's a very specific thing, whereas this instrument is very versatile and I can pull all sorts of sounds out of it.
You spent some time recording yourself playing out in nature, and this track is called Rising Water. It's from your album Echolocations Canyon. Us about where you recorded this particular track and what inspired you to record it there in the first place.
I got a tip from a musician friend that we were talking about acoustics in outdoor environments, and he said he mentioned this canyon in Utah, in southern Utah, called Coyote Gulch, and it's in the Bears Ears National Park in southern Utah. And we had to hike several hours. We got lost. I'm carrying a violin and various things. And we had to basically rappel down into this canyon. This is me and a filmmaker friend of mine, Tyler Manson. And it's the walls of the canyon kind of come together at the very top. So you just see a little patch of sky. So it's almost like a cathedral. Mm-hmm. And there's just an extraordinary reverberance And so the idea was to go and make this sort of sonic map of the environment. So when the listener hears it, they, with their eyes closed, can kind of map it in their mind based on how the sound is bouncing off the environment. And that's why it's called echolocation, like the way bats, you know, use echolocations. Just sort of a blank slate and waiting to see how the sound bounces off these canyons tells me what to play next.
Yeah.
Or how little to play or to how much space to leave so you can hear the reverberance. And then, yeah, there's a track on that album called The Canyon Wants to Hear C Sharp, which is exactly
what it sounds like. Yeah.
It's matter of fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just been a fascinating thing for me to come up with projects where you have to react to your environment.
Well, that one, Rising Water, it definitely feels very cinematic. Mm-hmm. You've had a hand in scoring several films, Andrew. How'd you get into that?
Well, when I was in music school at Northwestern, that's what I thought I wanted to do because I was so kind of omnivorous stylistically. I was into a different thing every 2 weeks and just devouring different types of music that I found interesting. And I thought, what better way to use all that than to do film scores? But then I got sidetracked by this adventure of getting in a van and driving around and playing clubs all over the country. And that became its own movie and a road movie in a way. But now more recently I've done a few more film scores. Most notably, like I did Lynn Shelton's last film or second to last film. And I've done like maybe half a dozen films, documentaries and
nice.
Features. Yeah. It's a different thing because, you know, you're not fully autonomous and you're part of a big machine that generates this thing. So mm-hmm. Depending on the project, I have varying levels of autonomy. Like I just did Judd Apatow film, and it's like a very massive Hollywood machine. But I've done a bunch of indie films where you get a little more freedom.
Yeah. Well, your career in front of the lens or, you know, behind the lens, it doesn't stop there. I want to talk about Thurman Smutney, which is a character you played in the FX hit Fargo. And the character, yeah. Or the creator, rather, Noah Hartley, did he write this role for you? Is that right?
I mean, he saw me play a show in Austin, Texas, where he's from, and he kind of cast me on the spot. I think he was looking for his funeral director. This is the fourth installment of the Fargo series, and each one of the Fargos has kind of a character that's sort of the moral compass or like the generally decent person surrounded by all these depraved, violent people.
Yeah.
That's what he decided I should be in this version. So I play a funeral director in Kansas City in the 40s and 50s, and I'm just trying to keep my family safe and amongst gangsters. And yeah, it was my first time acting. And
what was that like, taking that leap?
Well, it was, it's still a mysterious art to me. I understand performing, and I've had people say, like, when I do certain songs of mine that it is kind of like acting in a way. Sometimes I have songs that are kind of like one act plays, you know, that with dialogue where I'm playing both roles. So I understand what that feels like, but to do it on a set over and over again while they set up the different camera shot, that's a different kind of performance where you're trying to sustain your presence all day long. That was tricky. That was hard.
Let's talk about this tour. We talked about your album Inside Problems. You named the tour Outside Problems. Why?
During the pandemic, I did a lot of recording outside, making various videos or just making recordings, and for various reasons. One, because I like recording outside, based on the echolocations and everything.
Right.
sometimes it was just a necessity. And I put together all these performances that I recorded myself playing instrumentally outside, and I'm calling that Outside Problems. So that album will come out this summer on a tour only vinyl set, and then will come out properly in the fall. So it's me sort of just improvising on a lot of the melodic themes, because I always find that making an album of these songs, the kind of brevity that you seek in writing a good song leaves a lot of good ideas on the cutting room floor. So I always like to have an escape valve project that lets me improvise and play more freely.
Well, you're going to play the new Chicago venue, the Salt Shed, this summer in August, and you will be among the first artists to actually play on that new stage. So can you tell us anything about the show?
It's funny because I remember driving down to visit my grandparents downtown when I was a kid and seeing, I mean, the Morton Salt Shed is such an iconic Chicago thing you'd see on the freeway.
Yeah.
Along with like the Magicist sign, which is now gone. I don't know if you remember that one, but, the shows that's going to be towards the end of a long summer tour with Iron and Wine. So Sam Beam and I will be playing our own sets, and then we're going to play together as well as a duo. And it's going to be a really fun tour. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first time I'll be on a rolling tour in about 3 years.
That's Andrew Bird. Today he dropped his latest single, Underlands. Talked with us about his new album, Inside Problems, an upcoming tour, Outside Problems. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's go out on another track. This is from your Grammy-nominated album, My Finest Work Yet. It's called Sisyphus.
Did he jump or did he fall as he gazed into the maw of the morning mist? Did he raise both fists and say to hell with this suggest? Let the rock roll.
That's it for this Saturday edition of the Reset Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can find new episodes wherever you listen every weekday. Do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast. It really makes a difference. And if you're on Twitter, check us out at WBEZ Reset. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll have a new episode for you on Monday.
to the mist, a stone stole from a precipice, paused.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.